Good morning. How's everybody doing? Good. I want to thank Dr. Schmidt for allowing me to fill the pulpit this morning. Always excited to get to bring God's word to you. It's a joy and a privilege, and one that I do not take for granted. Today we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll be looking at verses 12 through 31. We'll be going quickly through those. So as you're turning there, I want any of you in the room that have a quarter, take it out. If you have a quarter, take it out. If you don't, it's okay. You'll still get the object lesson. But if you've got a quarter, if you'll look closely at your quarter, or it can be on some other coins as well, or even dollar bills, you'll see a phrase called E Pluribus Unum. And you're thinking, well, what does that mean? Well, in the Latin, that's where that comes from. It means out of many, one. Out of many, one. It refers to the fact on our coins that the United States was formed as a cohesive single nation as a result of 13 smaller colonies joining together. It refers to that union that's formed by the separate states. The word pluribus, it relates to the English word plural, and the unum relates to the English word unit. This phrase, it also describes an action, many uniting into one. E Pluribus Unum was proposed as our national motto in 1776 and can presently be seen on the Great Seal of the United States and on much of our currency. So you may be asking yourself, well, how does that relate to our text today? How does it relate to the Lord's Supper? Well, it relates in a lot of ways, because as the body of Christ, we are many different people. You come from different walks of life, different backgrounds, different socioeconomic backgrounds, different ethnic backgrounds. There's a lot of different places that you come from, different families that you were born into. And yet in Christ, we are one. One body in Christ, despite all of that. And I just think that is so fascinating. So when we look at that E Pluribus Unum, the reason I even brought that up was Dr. Schmidt, Donald, he brought up the prison ministry. And many of you know that I worked in the Kairos prison ministry for about 20 years and loved every minute of it. And there was a particular church down in Palestine that would host the prison team every year, the First Christian Church in Palestine, Texas. And so I've been in their pulpit many, many, many times. And on their pulpit, there was a phrase that they had taped to it. Somebody had typed it up and taped a little phrase, E Pluribus Unum. And I had heard a really good friend of mine, a guy named Gary Garza, give a similar talk about out of the many one, and he did it from this particular text. Now, I'm not going to repeat exactly what he said because I'm not that good and I didn't write it down, but it definitely lends itself to the idea of being unified in Christ. And the Lord's Supper that we're going to take today definitely, it's a picture of the diversity of the body of Christ, all coming together under the lordship of Jesus Christ and celebrating by taking the Lord's Supper. We celebrate together. One of the aspects of the Lord's Supper that's good to remember is it unifies us as a people. That's one thing that it does. Obviously, there are other factors involved, such as the confession of sin and the making your heart right with the Lord, and if you've got aught against your brother. All of those things are important. But the unity that we have in Christ is astounding when you consider the diversity that we have as well. In verses 12 and 13, 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 and 13, the Bible says, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit." We have all experienced the same baptism. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have experienced the baptism of Christ, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, so to speak. But there's only one baptism. We're not seeking another. We're not seeking another spiritual baptism. When you're saved, when you come to faith in Jesus Christ, you are baptized by the Holy Spirit. And there is not another one. Many people, some people in some Christian circles, they claim that there is another baptism of the Spirit. And I definitely do not believe that the Bible teaches that. The baptism of the Holy Spirit occurs at conversion. We do not seek another one. And because of that, we are unified in Christ because there's only one. There's only one baptism. And the other ordinance that we celebrate in addition to baptism, which is the Lord's Supper, which is we're going to have today, is that is a symbol of our unity as well. And so God wants us to be unified as a people because moving together, moving forward together as the body of Christ, we can do much more together than we can apart, right? You can only do so much to serve God by yourself, and then you're going to grow weary. But when we come together as the body of Christ and have a single mission, a single focus, we can do much more together, be much more effective. And that's one of the things that this is calling us to do. In verses 14 through 31, we're going to be looking at the diversity in unity. Diversity in unity. And unity without diversity, it produces uniformity. And uniformity tends to produce death. Warren Wiersbe makes that comment. I'll say that again. Unity without diversity produces uniformity, and uniformity tends to produce death. However, if diversity is not kept under control, it can destroy unity, and then you have anarchy. So let's look at verses 14 through 20 at the moment. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. Point number one is the body needs different functions if it is to live, grow, and serve. That's why there's diversity here. In a group this size, there's a lot of different, you have a lot of different thoughts, and you bring a lot of different things to the table that I may not bring. And another thing about that is I have blind spots. You know, I sit and think and propose about ways we can strategize to reach out to the community, and we can do things through Love Loud, we can go door knocking, we can do a lot of different things as a church to reach people for Christ, and that's good. But many of you, there's somebody sitting out there right now who sees things that I cannot see, and you have ideas that I'll never have. And if you don't share them with me, I'll never know. And we could be missing something that would actually be more effective and better. And so I value your input. I want to know if you have a thought about how we can evangelize our city better, how we can serve our city. Or that's just my particular bent is evangelism, but it could be on any number of things. But we need each other is the point. The body has different functions, which is what it's talking about here. The foot and the hand and the eye and the nose and all the different parts, the ear, all of those parts are important to the body of Christ, right? Not everybody's going to be the mouth, right? I have a mouth, as y'all know, and I use it, as y'all know, but not everybody has that particular gift. And yet all the gifts of the body of Christ are important. I had a pastor tell me one time, this was before I was on staff, before I was a pastor, I was a layman back many years ago, but he was telling me that he always was observing the staff of the church and other pastors and things, and he made the comment that If you see a guy or a gal who will bend down and pick up a piece of trash in the lobby or out in the parking lot and then take it and throw it away, that's somebody you can work with because they understand service. They understand love. They understand humility. They understand a lot of those type of things. And so that's why there's different functions in the body of Christ. Some people serve by taking the trash out. Some people serve by cleaning the toilets. Some people serve by leading worship. Praise God. Some people serve by preaching. There's a lot of different ways you can serve, but let me tell you, the thing that you do for the body of Christ is important. And don't let anybody tell you different. Because your particular skill and your particular gifting is needed so that we may be complete, so that the body of Christ is complete. So the body needs those different functions if we're going to live, if we're going to grow, and if we're going to serve. Verses 21 through 26, it says that the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts, which are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. The members of the body of Christ are to they promote unity as we discover our dependence on each other. That's what these verses are talking about. We're dependent on each other, right? No man is an island. No man is an island. And no single person is able to carry the weight of the church. No single person is able to carry the weight of the church by him or herself. It's not possible. Because we're human. We're not God, right? Jesus is able to carry that weight, but we cannot. We are dependent on Christ, and we are dependent on one another. So for us to do our jobs effectively as the pastoral staff, we need you. You are needed, I can assure you. The things you bring to the table, the gifts that you give, the way you serve, the way you love, the way you encourage, you are needed. And I know sometimes, because I've been around church a long time, and I've been at this particular church for 26 years. And I know it's possible to serve and to serve and to serve and to serve and to just feel like nobody ever sees me. Nobody sees me. What am I doing? Why am I here? And you continue to serve because you recognize you don't do it for the recognition. You're not doing it for the glory. But it's possible, even knowing that, because we're human, to feel discouraged. It just seems like we give and we give and we give. And so I want to tell you today, thank you. Thank you for serving Christ by serving us, by serving each other, by serving this body. Thank you for the various ways that you do that. It means a tremendous amount, not only to the kingdom of God and Jesus himself, but to Pastor Donald and myself, all the staff, and to each other as you love one another. The Bible says that by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you have love one for another. And the love that you have for each other is best shown by the way you serve. By the way you serve. And you guys serve extremely well. In staff meetings regularly, we are commending you guys. This happens regularly, where we're talking about some service, something that you have done, one of you. And we praise God for that, and we thank God for that, and we pray for that. Because it does matter, and it doesn't go unnoticed. I want you to hear that, because we are dependent on each other. Very much like in a marriage, we're dependent on each other. A husband and a wife are dependent on each other, because the husband can't do it all himself, nor can the wife do it all herself. It takes us working together as a team. And that very thing alone promotes unity, which is the thing I wanted to talk about today, is the unity of the body of Jesus Christ. But here's the thing. Just like we learned in Sunday school today, we can't get jealous of people who have different gifts, who are serving in different ways than we are. Rather than going, how come they get all the good stuff, or they get all the good jobs, or they get all the whatever, right? We should celebrate how other people are serving. And by and large, you guys do a great job of that. I know this to be true. I want to encourage you today to continue that. Continue that. Celebrate the way you serve one another. Celebrate. When you see somebody doing something good, celebrate that. When you see somebody being a blessing, celebrate that. That's what we're to do. We're to celebrate those things. Members promote unity as they discover their dependence on one another. We are dependent on each other, no doubt about it. Finally, in verses 27 through 31, it says, "Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, various kinds of tongues." And then he asks some rhetorical questions. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you still a more excellent way. As you can see by that passage, the diversity of the membership of the church, particularly Lakeland, as we're talking about us today, the diversity of the membership here, it fulfills the will of God for the body of Christ. I'll say that again. The diversity of the membership of Lakeland Baptist Church, this fulfills the will of God for the body of Christ that meets here. Why is that? Well, we've already talked about it a little bit. It's because we're dependent on each other, and not everybody has the same gifts. And so the diversity that we have in the body of Christ here that meets at Lakeland, if you didn't bring what you bring to the table, we would be missing something. If the thing that you're doing week in and week out was not being done, the body of Christ would suffer because of it. Think about that. This isn't a guilt trip thing at all. I want to encourage you with that. Look, what I'm trying to tell you is that what you do matters. How you serve matters. How you give matters. How you love, it matters a great deal. Not just in the church, but then it spills over into other parts of your life, your work life, your home life. You learn how to serve by being obedient to Christ, and it transforms every area of your life. And when that begins to happen, when the church is transformed, the home is transformed, the church is transformed, businesses are transformed, society is then transformed. And the aroma of Jesus Christ then permeates the very fabric of our society. Because each member of the body of Christ is doing the very thing that God has equipped you to do. This church, Lakeland Baptist Church, God has put in Louisville for a reason. It's so that we can be the aroma of Jesus Christ to those who don't know Him. To those who don't know Him. And we will best continue to be that aroma when we serve and love and are unified together. And unity does not mean uniformity, but it does mean that I'm going to prefer you over myself. It means I'm going to give you credence. I'm going to prefer that thing that you desire over what I desire. That's hard to do, but doesn't Jesus call us to die to ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him? I think he does, doesn't he? He calls us to that. And that's what we do. And hey, Lakeland Baptist Church, let me tell you, you guys do a great job of that. And I commend you for that. We talk about that. You guys are willing to serve and to give and to go and to do with relatively little complaint. And I praise God for you. And I know all your pastoral staff praises God for every single one of you. And so I just want to thank you for that and bless you today because of that. As I wrap up the message, which I know was short, but I think it's an important one that many of you needed to hear. Are you a member of the body of Christ? Are you a member of the body of Christ? And you say, Mitchell, what do you mean by that? Well, what I mean by that is, have you been born again? Or are you just a church attender? Which are you? Have you attended church for several years, or maybe you've attended church all your life, but you still feel like an outsider? Is that you? Are you an outsider? Have you never been born again? And you say, Mitchell, what does that even mean, to be born again? That's crazy. Crazy talk. You might be asking, how is it possible? Do I have to go back in my mother's womb and be born again? No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about spiritually speaking. When in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and he created mankind. And he said it was good. And we had a relationship with him. And then sin entered into the world. And when sin entered into the world, there was a death that occurred, because God said, when you eat from this tree, you shall surely die. And if you've read the Bible, you know that they did. Now, they didn't die physically, but something on the inside died. And there was now a separation between them and God. And that same is true for you as well. If you're not a member of the body of Christ, if you haven't been born again, there's a separation between you and God. And it's very real, and there's no way that you can close the gap by yourself. That's why Jesus was asking Nicodemus in John 3, have you been born again? And Nicodemus was confused about that. What does that mean? So what happens is Jesus Christ himself went to the cross. He died for your sins and mine. He was buried. He was raised from the dead. And because he lives, we can live. But to be born again, that's what happens. You're dead in your trespasses and sins. You turn to Jesus Christ. You trust him for your salvation. You repent of your sin, meaning you confess that. And what happens is you are then raised up out from among the dead ones. Literal translation out of the book of Ephesians. That's what happens. That's how a person is born again. Jesus Christ himself raises you up out from among the dead ones. A picture of that can be found in John chapter 11, when they're standing at the tomb of Lazarus, the friend of Jesus, who's been dead and in the tomb, in the grave for 4 days. And Jesus goes to the tomb. They remove the stone. And Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth. And that who was dead is now made alive again. Because the creator of heaven and earth, the king of everything that is, when he calls your name, you're coming. You're coming. And he called Lazarus by name. And when you cry out to Jesus and say, Lord, save me. Lord, I need you. I'm sorry for my sin, and you turn from your sin, Jesus Christ himself calls you by name. And he says, Dow, come forth. And Dow Razdel is then spiritually speaking raised from death to life. That's what it means to be born again, is to be raised from death to life. And God does that. Have you been born again? Are you a member of the body of Christ? That's really the question for today. Because if you want in on the oneness of the body, if you want to be a part of that great diversity in the body of Christ that makes up unity through baptism and through the Spirit and through the Lord's Supper, and you can be unified in Christ, if you want that, if your life is missing that, then today, the Bible says, is the day of salvation. Today is the only day you have. The Bible says today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as they did in the day of the rebellion. Today is the day of salvation. There's not another day. Today is the only day you have. God is the God of now, right now. So the question that I have for you is, what are you going to do? And in a moment, we're going to have a time of response for those of you who may be in the congregation today who need to be born again. You can come forward and you can let us know that. And we'll walk with you through that process. But there are others of you here today who are fixing to draw near to the table of Christ. They're going to draw near and take the elements of the Lord's Supper. And the Bible commands us that we should reflect upon ourselves, on the sinful nature of our hearts. And if you have aught against your brother, or if you've sinned against God, if you've done something and you know you need to confess that before you come to the table of Christ, during this response time, that's the time for you to come and make it right with God. And look, God is not going to chastise you. He's waiting. God is waiting for you to come. He's waiting. He's waiting. So as we start our invitation time, as the musicians come, I'm going to pray for us. And when I'm done praying, you guys can stand, and we will get started on the response time. Father, I thank you for this great people that make up Lakeland Baptist Church. God, I thank you that you have called us together as a people. Lord, that you have made a people who were so separate and so distant and so disunified. And God, by your Spirit and by your grace, you have made us one in Christ. And I thank you for that. God, I thank you for each person here and how they serve and how they love and how they give. And God, as we draw near to the time of the Lord's Supper, God, I pray that we would come and wash our hearts clean by the Spirit of the living God. Lord, that we would pray and seek and knock and ask. So God, I give you praise for that. Lord, for those who may not be saved today, who don't know Christ, who are not members of the church, God, I pray that they would come during this invitation time and give their hearts to Jesus, even today. I pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Would you stand and continue in a spirit of prayer as the musicians lead us?